Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, we continue our exit interview series with Kelly Olynyk.
We'll review Olynyk's season and his upside going forward. Thank you so much for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back, and I write for the Miami Heat's Tip Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Romillo, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat for SB Nation and AllYouCanHeat.com. I cover the league at large for FanSided. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRomillo13.
We're continuing our exit interview series today. If you haven't listened to the first few that covered the starters, they all follow the same basic format where we talk about one player per show, review his season with some pros and cons, then answer some key questions about his future. We are starting our bench rotation right now, and we're going to start with Kelly Olynyk, who spent most of the season coming off the bench, even though he had some spot starts. And let's start with some pros on Kelly Olynyk's season, which are a lot. I think Kelly Olynyk was a surprise development for Miami's season. The Heat's offensive rating of 108.7 when he was on the floor led the team, allowed them to play a different style of offense than we've seen basically since Chris Bosh has left. You know, we looked at the way that 30-11 Heat team played, right, was a lot of drive and kick with Dragic and Waiters, getting to the rim, kicking out to open shooters along the perimeter. With Kelly Olynyk in the game, Miami changed their offense, and it wasn't at the start of the season. Remember this, David, how they still tried to do that drive and kick offense, but Spoelstra eventually realized, look, I've got a weapon here in Olynyk who I could put on in that triple threat position on the elbow, let him initiate some offense, and put the ball in his hands, and we saw a lot of these dribble handoffs and ball movement and body movement, and the offense sort of evolved from there. That was a major development in Miami's season.
Yeah, I think they might have even been a little surprised by how versatile he was. And I mean, I know that those are the skills that they were looking for when they signed him in the first place, but it's another matter to try and recognize those and how to incorporate those as effectively as possible in a new team. And I think eventually they did figure it out, but there was still too much, you know, trying to navigate when and when Olynyk would play. I think there was not enough consistency in that sense, like I from both the coaching staff and perhaps from Kelly himself. I mean, I'm trying to keep this as positively as possible. He does show an incredible amount of versatility, like his savvy along the perimeter, his playmaking ability. He shows nice touch around the rim and obviously, you know, a really deft shooting touch from the perimeter. So there was just a number of skills that he can show and does at a high level. And I think he winds up becoming, at this point, you would say he's second as far as most versatile player in the roster to James Johnson, maybe Justice Winslow.
I was going to say, I mean, I think I had him as my MVP, right, in our end of season awards. I think I had him as the Heat's MVP. I mean, his offensive productivity was off the charts for the Heat. I mean, that offensive rating of 108.7 would be near the top in the league. And I've got some more numbers that I want to share a little bit later on, but offensively, what he's able to do as far as being a hub on offense was it was a game changer for Miami. Also, just a few other things here. You know, Olynyk gets knocked for not being the best rebounder, but the team rebounding percentage when he was on the floor is virtually identical to that of Hassan Whiteside. So while Whiteside still brings down a lot of rebounds, right, his box score shows more rebounds than Olynyk's does. Olynyk, I think, does a better job of team rebounding. He boxes out better. He's in a better position. So even if Olynyk isn't grabbing the board, one of his teammates might be, right? And so the team rebounded as well when Olynyk was on the floor versus when Whiteside was on the floor. And so that's a nice positive. And then I think he was better than expected on defense. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, he looks a little bit slower out there, so maybe you wonder whether or not he's going to be exposed. And there were some moments of that. He does not have the strength, I think, to body up with your stronger centers or bigs. So that's a concern. But overall, he's an earnest defender. He tries to move his body well. He took a number of charges. He uses positioning well. Again, I think the overall strength and speed could be improved. There's still time. He's young enough, I think, and you can spend another off season with his team and get him to reach that next level of development. So I think we'll certainly start to see more growth from him defensively.
As far as cons, look, I think he could be taken advantage of when he was the sole rim protector for the Heat, right? Like you said, doesn't have the strength to body up against the bigger centers. So I think those guys tended to bully him a little bit when he was under the rim. And then I think you would see a dip in Miami's rebounding success when they were playing a bigger team that way, and Olynyk was the guy that was in the game. And then from a scoring standpoint, I thought he was a little inconsistent and even sometimes a little passive. You know, maybe a little bit too willing to just pass the ball and move the ball. I'd like to see him be a little bit more aggressive with his own shot. Take a few more three-pointers. Take a few more mid-range jumpers if he's feeling confident in that shot that day. Try to get his own shot a little bit more. You know, keep doing the fake dribble handoffs. Let's see more of those. Those were great.
Yeah, at 25 games where he scored 9 points or less. So clearly there were moments there where he's just not feeling as aggressive as we'd like him to be. And then conversely, he had that big outing against Boston where he scored a career-high 32 points. And that's where you really saw the best version of him, right? He was dominant. He was aggressive. He looked for his shot. He wanted to enact a certain level of revenge against his former team. And I just don't know that we saw that edge to him a whole heck of a lot. Like, you know, I think a lot of people remember his altercations in the playoffs a couple of years ago with Kelly Oubre Jr. in Washington, and then again with Kevin Love, I think, a couple of years before that. But either way, we want to see more of that edge from him on a consistent basis. Not where he's necessarily hurting anybody, but at the very least where he's more aggressive and taking advantage of opportunities, because he is that skilled. I think he can get by. He's quick enough to get by a number of defenders. He's savvy enough to create, you know, shot fakes and opportunities for him or for teammates. And all that kind of, all those numbers and all the strengths that he shows on a regular basis, I think make him a very, you know, it shows that he's an elite level scorer.
So what kind of things then does Olynyk need to improve on? I've got number one, he already cut his hair, which is great.
He already cut it.
So I think that's a major improvement. We talked about maybe him getting a little bit quicker. That should help, you know, shed a few pounds that way. So after cutting his hair, which he already did, what else do you think he needs to improve on?
I think he could stand to, you know, improve his overall body a little bit. I think, you know, he's not necessarily the kind of chiseled physique that the Heat expect him to be. I mean, he's certainly lean enough, I guess, but at the same time, you maybe improve your body, be a little stronger, improve your flexibility in workouts and things of that sort. So I think with an offseason, like I said, in Miami, I think it's a great opportunity for him to take that next level.
And then I think he should expand that three-point shot a little bit more. He took a career-high 3.7 threes last season. I mean, let's see him get up to 5 three-pointers a game. I mean, there are several bigs right now that are shooting 5, 6, 7 three-pointers a game. I see no reason why Olynyk shouldn't be part of that group, especially if Wayne Ellington might not be a part of the roster next season. They're going to be looking for three-point shooting from other places. Olynyk could be a major factor in that. And look, we talked in our Whiteside Exit interview that Hassan might not be back next season. If he's not, Olynyk could be thrust into that starting spot at center. And to your point, he might not be able to body up with those more traditional centers. And if that's the case, he's going to need to get them out of the paint. And to do that, he needs to take even more threes than he was last season. If he could just make it so that they can't leave him on the perimeter, that would be huge. Not only for him, but I think for Miami's offense in general. All right, so we've got some more questions about Kelly Olynyk that we want to ask, including if he should take an even bigger role in the Miami Heat's offseason next season, or the Miami Heat's offense next season. We'll talk about that after this quick break. Back with Locked On Heat, David, Kelly Olynyk has been talked about as a hub on offense, right? I mean, the offense will often run through him when he's got the ball in his hands at the elbow. We've seen him run the dribble handoffs. He sets screens. He does everything really well. Do you think he is good enough at that to be a potent enough offensive hub for Miami to be even more competitive? Is there a higher ceiling to basically an offense that is ran through, at least partly, Kelly Olynyk?
I think so. I do, anyway. I see his versatility, his passing, his playmaking ability, and I think the numbers bear this out, that he is certainly potent enough. And I think, you know, obviously we see the difference out there when you got a guy like Whiteside who is not known for his playmaking ability, and then you get a guy like Olynyk who is and certainly capable at that level, where you can really start to do things differently. I feel like, in thinking about this now, as we're talking about it, you know, the loss of Wayne Ellington could be a real blow to a guy like Olynyk, because so much they had such a great you know, they worked so well in tandem with one another, where he was faking that dribble handoff to Wayne, or making that pass to Wayne as he was curling around the screen and giving him the assist there to find him wide open from the three-point range. I mean, I wonder if Kelly is capable without a three-point shooter in the lineup, because without Ellington, I don't know that we have a dead-eye shooter anymore. Whether or not Kelly is still a guy that you can rely on, like, to create offense without that kind of three-point shooter to bail him out.
That's a good point. I think the Heat are going to need to add more three-point shooting in one way or the other. Now, what, maybe it's re-signing Ellington or doing something like that. But if Ellington is going to be, you know, the hub of the offense, then you're going to have to surround him with guys that make that work. I mean, I was looking at other teams that have a similar type of offense, and you look at the Denver Nuggets, what they're able to do with Nikola Jokic. The offense runs through him, right, in a very similar way to Olynyk, and they're the sixth best offense in the league, and everything runs through their pass first big, but they've got guys like Jamal Murray, who can make threes. They got Paul Millsap on the, in that front court with him, and they've got a bunch of guys on that bench, you know, Will Barton, Gary Harris, guys who can make a lot of three pointers. Miami needs to find a way to surround Olynyk with that, but if they do, I think that this offense could be up there with Denver's, a top 6-7 offense in the league with Olynyk, you know, manning the show. I see no reason why that couldn't be the case, as long as you surround him with the right guys. I have some numbers though for Olynyk. That we know that he is a great passing big, and if we look at, you know, the top offenses in the league, those are the offenses that like to move the ball a lot, right? Miami's assist percentage when Olynyk is on the floor, 62.7% of their shots are assisted with Olynyk on the floor. When he's off the floor, 54.9%. That's a difference of almost 8 percentage points. That's a dramatic difference. And that 62.7% ranks right up there with, you know, when Chris Bosh was in Miami and with other top offenses in the league, what their assist percentage is typically. Then here's a more staggering stat that I found. The Heat's true shooting percentage when Olynyk is on the floor, 57.9%. That would rank fourth in the league. That would make Miami the fourth best shooting team in the NBA if they were able to maintain that 57.9% true shooting percentage that they have when Olynyk is on the floor. When Olynyk is off the floor, their true shooting percentage drops all the way to 52.8%. That would rank dead last in the league when Olynyk is off the floor. That is so they basically go from a top four offense in the NBA when Olynyk is on the floor to the worst shooting team in the league when Olynyk is off the floor.
That is pretty startling. And I guess it certainly goes to back up your point then, that he is that kind of player that you could theoretically build your offense around. Is that the next evolution for Olynyk? Is that where you see him becoming that kind of player? Maybe not the same level as Jokic, but, you know, somewhere near that? Or is that something that you can only do for spot minutes? I wonder if you just have to overhaul your whole offense. I mean, clearly you'll need to make some personnel moves. Unloading Whiteside would be key among them. But if you shift that focus, can he be the guy that you can build your offense around for a significant amount of playing time?
You know, I don't know what his own individual upside is, right? I mean, I feel like his upside would be taking advantage of what he does well and kind of just putting him on a greater stage. I just don't know what his own individual, like, you look at a guy like Jokic and you can say, well, his upside, like, just his own individual growth, you know, we don't even know what his ceiling is in that regard. Like, he can get better as a defender. He could become a more dominant scorer. I don't know that Olynyk has that gear. And I think if you're going to run your offense through somebody, they have to have that gear where, you know, push comes to shove on the road in the playoffs, they could just take over a game. I don't know that Olynyk has that in him. Unless it's game 7 against the Wizards and he's playing for the Celtics. But I think that you can maybe look to something almost like that. Put him on a greater stage, get the personnel. But the personnel that he would fit with would also be elite personnel. That's what's so great about a Linux game, is you just put him with another elite player and he's gonna fit in seamlessly, and it's almost going to bring, you know, more out of his own game if you pair him next to an elite wing or an elite scorer. You know what I mean? So I think you can.
Specifically a three-point shooting.
Like, can you imagine, like, Kawhi Leonard with Kelly Olynyk? That would be a great fit. You know, you got Olynyk's ability to go ISO, but willingness to move the ball and stretch the floor with his three-point shooting and play defense on the perimeter. That would be a great partner for Kelly Olynyk. But any team with Kawhi Leonard would be better for having Kawhi Leonard. So In a roundabout way, I think I don't even remember what the question was, but yes.
Is he, if he can be the guy you revolve your offense around. I mean, you look at Jokic, he would probably be the highest ceiling for Olynyk, and I don't know that he's capable of reaching that, right? I mean, given their age disparity, yeah. He's 4 years younger.
Well, we could go back to like older teams, right? Like the Chris Bosh, you know, I think in a lot of ways, the offense ran through Chris Bosh. I mean, maybe the ball was in LeBron's hands a lot more often, and then in Dwayne Wade's hands a lot more often, but like you said earlier, there were spot minutes where they would just, let's run the offense through Bosh. Bosh is the first guy or the second guy to touch the ball. Eventually, Wade gets it in a backdoor cut, or LeBron will get the ball and end up in an isolation situation on the weak side. But it's going through Bosh first. And I think Olynyk could play a similar role. Or those Indiana Pacers teams with David West and Lance Stephenson and Paul George. David West was always running the offense, it seemed like. And you had guys running around him and playing strong defense. And you could see something similar with Olynyk. So maybe run through Olynyk is too much. Like, you would run through an offense through James Harden. But being an offensive hub, I think there is a higher ceiling there to be met with Olynyk. But it starts with getting better personnel around him. Okay. All right, well, we've got some more questions we've got to ask about Kelly Olynyk. He's in a value contract right now for the Heat after they signed him last summer. But the great thing about value contracts is not only are they, you know, a small hit on your own cap book, but they have a lot of trade value too, David. We're going to talk about that when we come back after this break. Back with Locked On Heat. So in the spirit of this exit interview, if we're the Heat's front office and we are in closed doors and there's no, the office that we're sitting in isn't bugged, nobody can hear us, are we even exploring the idea of trading Kelly Olynyk? Because that contract, which a lot of people balked at the time, has turned out to be a value contract. There's not a whole lot of players you can get with a Linux skill set making $10 or $11 million a year. What would it take for us? Everybody's got a price, right? What would it take for us to move Kelly Olynyk?
I think at this point, it's primarily a secondary move. I think if you move Whiteside, then all of a sudden Kelly Olynyk becomes a more important piece, but maybe you shift your offense around. Maybe you can acquire another versatile center in exchange for Whiteside or another big that takes up a lot of minutes. And if that's the case, then you try to move Olynyk for, say, a lucrative superstar or somebody along those lines, somebody you can develop into a superstar. And I know you've got a suggestion for a possible trade.
Well, it would have to be somebody that can be, you know, I don't think that you can move Olynyk, right, for a dominant scorer. That's not a fair trade. But
No, but as a part of a trade
package? As part of a trade, sure, yeah. I mean, look, I think a team like Portland would love to have a guy like Kelly Olynyk, right? If they're willing to break up that backcourt, is it Kelly Olynyk plus other parts for a CJ McCollum? I mean, maybe that's something that we would explore. One target that I have in mind is, if Milwaukee called and offered to put together a sign-and-trade package for Jabari Parker, they want Mike Budenholzer now in Milwaukee, wants an answer at center. He looks at Kelly Olynyk as possibly like an Al Horford type that he can build his offense around. He wants to be mobile. He wants to be versatile, and he can do that with a guy like Kelly Olynyk at center. Does he offer, I don't know, Parker for Kelly Olynyk and then Wayne Ellington as a side and trade possibility? If the Heat can manage to get a guy like Jabari Parker, I think they really need to think about that, because, yeah, you lose your offensive hub in Kelly Olynyk, but can you build a new offense around a guy like Jabari Parker, whose upside is all-star scorer, right? I mean, that's the sort of move it would take for Miami to even land such a scorer at this point. If you can basically package a guy like Olynyk, Ellington, and maybe whatever else it might take, but it wouldn't, and you can keep guys like Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow, I think you have to explore it.
I don't know. I'm loath to make a move like that. As much as I like Jabari and his upside, his health concerns are great. There are defensive limitations as well, and we don't know whether or not he's capable of becoming that focal point of an offense, and then you're sacrificing a heck of a lot. I mean, if there's a chance that you can even try and bring back Wayne Ellington, he provides so much offense. And sure, you're making up a part of that with Parker, but, you know, losing Olynyk certainly hits your numbers as well offensively. And so you're losing two key components of what made an offense that was already really bad, at least significantly better when they were out there. And so I don't know that you can sacrifice those. And sure, maybe Parker is capable of alleviating or replacing a lot of those that production. But at the same time, I just don't know if he's going to be that kind of capable focal point. Like, is he the kind of guy that you envision as being a superstar in this league? Is he Carmelo Light, perhaps?
He's got the upside to be there. And I just, if you're the Heat, I don't know. Look, I'm with you. Those Jabari Parker's injury concerns scare the crap out of me. I wrote about the Bucks earlier in the season. I said they shouldn't offer the extension. I just think it's, you know, they've already got their guys that they're running their offense through in Giannis and Chris Middleton. You don't really need Jabari Parker. He'd be more of a luxury. And you don't really want to pay that much money to a guy who could end up just crumbling on his own knees, right? And you're stuck with that contract, unable to build around Giannis, and now you have to trade Giannis. That's the worst case scenario for Milwaukee. For Miami, on the other hand, they don't have anybody to run the offense through. And the upside of Jabari Parker is so high, you know, and I like Miami's ability to, you know, get guys in great shape, the best shape they've ever been in their lives. Maybe that helps with Parker and his rehab and bouncing back. If it were Kelly Olynyk and Wayne Ellington for Jabari Parker, I'd have to think long and hard about it, and I'd probably end up doing it. Especially because we've got Bam Adebayo ready to become your starting center. And if you make a move like for Jabari Parker, you're kind of rebuilding, but not really. But you understand that the best basketball is a couple years away, so you can afford to start molding Bam and Justice and Josh and Jabari as sort of the future of the team. I would have to think long and hard about it. But let me ask you, if you're concerned about, you know, not having a sure thing in Jabari Parker, would you trade Olynyk then for a sure thing in, say, Chris Middleton? Say Milwaukee was like, look, we want to bring back Jabari. We think his ceiling is that high. We're not really ready to give up on him. But we really value what Olynyk can do. We think we can replace Chris Middleton in other ways, not only with Jabari Parker, but with like a guy like Tony Snell and all these other guys that we have on contract. What about Middleton for Olynyk? And Miami would probably have to throw in something else, but basically Middleton for Olynyk.
That's a move that I feel more comfortable with.
Okay.
And it scares me because also Middleton is not, you know, exactly a top-tier talent. He's a capable, versatile player and all that, and he's an underrated defender and a solid scorer and everything, but at the same time, not the kind of guy that brings your ceiling significantly upwards. So, but at the same time, given Jabari's health concerns, I think it's a better solid move for a conservative team like Miami.
Would you do it?
Would I do it? No.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I don't know. I would probably end up doing it. I don't know. I think Middleton's a really good, like, he's got an argument to be on maybe a third team all NBA forward spot this year, and given what Miami needs, it makes a lot of sense. But he is a free agent in a couple of years. You'd have to feel confident that he would re-sign. What is his upside? You know, it would be tough. It would be really tough. So basically what we're saying here is it would take a lot for Miami to trade Kelly Olynyk. I would probably do it for Middleton. He's only 26 years old. He's probably got more to grow, and I would like to see what he can do in the Heat system. But it speaks to how well Olynyk played last season, his overall value, his skill set that meshes with the way the league is going, and what he means to this Heat team. I mean, it would take a lot for us to trade Kelly Olynyk. I think the only guy I would probably say is more untouchable to me than Kelly Olynyk would be guys like Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson, and that's probably the end of the list.
Yeah, you mean the young core, Bam, et cetera?
Yeah, I would probably prefer to trade Bam before Kelly Olynyk.
Wow.
Yeah, at this point, I think, yeah, if I'm trying to win now, yeah, I would probably be more, if I know that Kelly Olynyk could be my starting center, I would be slightly more willing to move on from Bam, only because Olynyk is more of a sure thing, but it's close. Those would be my top four. Bam would probably be the fourth guy, but it would probably be Richardson, Justice, and Olynyk.
I'm just thinking about it right now, and I can't quite figure out how a trade like this might work, but what about trading Olynyk to a team like Denver in exchange for, like, say, Plumlee and Gary Harris or something like that?
Do they want a guy like Olynyk? I mean, maybe if they want to. I mean, they'd have.
I just feel like there would be a duplication. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there'd be a duplication of talents there because Olynyk could be like a Jokic light, And at the same time, it helps Miami get a specific shooting guard that the team could build around. I mean, again, it might have to be one of several moves where you move Tyler Johnson and free up that backcourt a little bit. And, of course, you've got Deion Waiters coming back, and he's going to expect to get a significant amount of playing time. So it's just about getting a younger player and maybe somebody whose future aligns a little bit more closely with that young core.
If the Chicago doesn't go and take a big man in this draft, what about a sign and trade for Zach LaVine? And you can pair Olynyk with Lauri Markkanen.
No,
LaVine still some of the injury issues. Some of the injury issues. All right, well, look, I think it just speaks to Olynyk's value to this team, and if we were to trade him, it would take a lot. It would basically be taking, we would be getting a lead scorer or a primetime scorer in return, like a sure thing in return, in order to move on from Olynyk. So I think that's where the Heat are going to stand here. I think that they're going to be really – I don't see them moving Olynyk for just anything, and if they do, it's going to be it's going to be a blockbuster deal, for a lack of a better term. I think if they do trade Kelly Olynyk, that's the sort of deal that's going to have to happen.
He'd be great in San Antonio.
I thought about it. I thought about Olynyk, Josh Richardson, and Justice Winslow for Kawhi Leonard.
Oof. That seems like an awful lot. You're giving up a big chunk of your versatility there, but I guess the acquiring a superstar in Kawhi, now you'd have to have some kind of guarantee that he'll be signed with the team, right?
Yeah. Would you trade Olynyk for Deonte Murray?
No.
Yeah, me neither. All right. Well, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. Send us your questions and comments by emailing us at lockedonheat@gmail.com or using the hashtag AskLOHeat. And support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.